Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here this morning, whether you're here in person or, you know, watching online. We want to welcome you here today, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there as well. Today, if you're just joining with us, we're in a brand new kind of series, taking a look at how do we develop resilience in some of the places of our lives, in some important kind of areas in our lives. We've been talking about really how do we bounce back, or better put, how do we bounce forward after finding some challenges, some difficulties, and perhaps even some crisis in our life in some areas. And so we've taken a look already about how to develop resilience in a relationship with God, prioritizing prayer, community, and serving. And then last week, Jamie shared on developing resiliency in our finances and really, you know, prioritizing good decisions and moving forward in that. And today, I want to take a look at developing resilience in a very specific area in our lives, one that matters immensely, one that I think whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, that this area is a part of your lives and it matters as well. Today, I want to talk about how do you find resilience in relationships, in friendships, in connections. That basically what I want to do today is I want to talk about the power of friendship. That's what I want to talk about here today. And I know that as soon as I say the power of friendship or the power of relationships, that that kind of sounds like a Bluey episode, right? Which is an awesome show, in case you're wondering. That kind of sounds like a Bluey episode or something that we would teach in kindergarten, but not something we might reflect on as adults. But I do actually today want to talk about how do you develop resilience in your friendships, in your relationships, in the connections that matter most, whether that's in your marriage or whether it's with friendships and friends that you have or coworkers or whatever it might be. I want to talk about the power of relationships and how to develop resiliency in your relationships. And what we know, both experientially and also scientifically, is that relationships are actually incredibly powerful in our lives. Here's some of the scientific research around the power of relationships or friendships or connections. That if you have strong relationships, did you know that you are less likely to have a cold if you have strong relationships? And I know these are some strange things, but they're also true. That you're less likely to have a cold. Do you know also if you have good relationships, you're more likely to recover faster from surgery? You're actually 2 to 5 times less likely to have a major health challenge. And social psychologist at Harvard, Dr. David McClellan, found that your friends can account for as much as 90% of your success in life, having friendships. Or BYU prof Julian Holt Lunsdown famously found that not having strong relationships, so not having good connections or friendships around you, is akin to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's kind of the equivalent. So what we know scientifically is that relationships are incredibly powerful things that are around us that we can invest in. And what we also know likely experientially is that that is true as well. You likely know from your own life the importance of having friendships and connections and relationships, or the struggle perhaps if you don't have friendships, connections, and relationships, how deeply difficult that can be. So today I want to talk about the power of relationships. And to begin with, we can be honest in church, amen? To begin with, what I wanted to share is that finding good, deep, healing, and hopeful friendships are often hard to find. They can be hurtful to lose, and they require hard work to maintain. That when it comes to friendships, there aren't just these things that are around us. They're actually difficult sometimes to grow and to maintain. Has anyone out there ever been hurt by a friendship before? Right? I think we all probably can put up our hands and say, yeah, I've been hurt by a friendship. I've been betrayed or there's been broken trust. And sometimes what ends up happening is because we can be hurt by friendships, rather than leaning into them in relationships with vulnerability, we might actually kind of pull away. But today, what I want to share with you is how you can invest deeply in your relationships, how you can invest deeply in the friendships and the connections you might have, and also how to even start making friendships, because this is just true. It is hard to make friends as an adult, is it not? It is really hard. It is really difficult. Kids seem to be able to do it instantly. You put them at a playground, and all of a sudden, they have a friend, right? We were away last week as a family, and while we were away, there was this one kid in the pool who was with Eden, and instantly they became best friends after 5 minutes of being together, right? That's kids, and they can do that. As adults, it's hard. So today what I want to talk through is not only the power of relationships, but also what can we do to strengthen them? What can we do to develop them? What can we do to start them? And to do that, what I want to do is I want to first look at the importance of friendship biblically. Secondly, then I want to take a look at what makes a good friend scripturally. And lastly, what I want to talk about is how can we develop good friendships really practically. So we're going to take a look at the importance of friendships, what makes a good friend, and really practically and tangibly how we can grow in developing resilience in our relationships, because they do matter incredibly a lot for us. And so to begin, to take a look at the importance of friendship biblically, I want to start in the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Proverbs here today. Now, you may not know this, but Proverbs, in it, King Solomon, what he's doing is he's giving us so much, not so much promises for the future. What he's giving to us is principles to live by. And some of the principles that he talks about are around friendship. So I want to take a look at one verse in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 18, verse 24, where he teaches us the need to have true friends, true friendships, deep connections. And I want to read to you Proverbs 18, 24 from a few different translations here today. So I'm going to read four different translations. We read this in the NIV. This is how it translates this verse. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The NLT puts it this way. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. The ESV puts it this way. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Or lastly, the Message does a great job of translating it. It says this, friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. Anyone want to say amen to that? Right? Like, friends come and friends can go, but a true friend sticks by you like family, like a chosen family member. And so today, I want to take a look at this verse here. Now, you don't need a degree in Hebrew to see that all these translations are a little bit different, and they have some different words within them. Here's how it reads literally in Hebrew. It reads, a man who has friends in the first half must himself be friendly. And here, Solomon is almost describing something that is absolutely perfect for our day and age and our lives. What he's talking about is that it is possible for someone to have lots of friends, lots of people around them, lots of maybe acquaintances, but living without a true friendship that would be harmful and difficult for them. What he's talking about today is what psychologists call friendlies, people we are acquainted with but are missing depth with, people we might have a surface relationship with, people we might laugh with and have a good time with, but there seems to be missing vulnerability, depth, and commitment. That really, the ESV does a great job of translating this verse where the ESV says this, a man of many companions may come to ruin. What he's talking about there is that you might have lots of people around you, but unless they are true, deep friendships, they aren't going to be helpful in times of need. Or if we were to update this in more modern language, what we might say is a man with or a person with many followers can easily lose them, but a true friend sticks by you through thick and thin. That what Proverbs is saying is that having lots of people around you, lots of companions, lots of followers, none of this really matters unless you have a deep, connected friendships. Or as the Message puts it, right? As friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. That what the Bible and what Solomon is teaching us here is that deep friendships matter the most and that they are needed in times of challenge, in times of crisis, in times when things aren't going well. That Solomon's pointing out something I think we all know deep down if we would just think about it for a few moments, is that a large group of followers or friendlies, as fun as that can be, isn't really helpful when it comes to the real-life challenges that we might face. So Solomon here is teaching us really clearly that we need to actually have deep, true, good friendships. Or as the NIV puts it, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So what Solomon is teaching us, if we're going to develop resiliency in our relationships, is that we need true and deep committed friendships. Not just people around us, not just followers on Instagram or whatever else. That we actually need deep friendships with people, deep connections, and to have, as he says, a friend who sticks through it through thick and thin for us. And so Proverbs teaches us the importance of friendship. I want to take a look now at Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, this is where we're going to be for the majority of our time today, in Ecclesiastes 4, we actually get a kind of a window from the writer of Ecclesiastes about how to have good relationships, about how to strengthen relationships, about how to even develop and even start good friendships and what they look like. And so in Ecclesiastes 4, what the writer is going to teach us is that good friends, what they do is they do three things. They help, they care, and they protect. That's what good friendships do. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want to start in our own lives, that good friendships help, care, and protect. Let's read the section, and then we'll take a look at it verse by verse here today, just looking at how do we develop that resiliency in our friendships or connections or relationships around us. We read this in verse 9, in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. The writer says three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I want to take a look at this section here today. And he starts off writing very directly on the importance of friendship. And he says this, two are better off than one. Anyone want to say amen to that? Right? Like two are better off than one. Having friendships is better off than one. I'm sure you know people in your life who you're doing life with, and this is what the writer says to us. Two are better off than one, and he says why they are. He says this, for they can help each other succeed. They can help each other succeed. And here the author is really clear that good friendships, true friendships, really help one another succeed. And this might sound, I don't know, maybe just simple and easy and true, but the truth with this is, I actually think it's quite deep, that true friends help each other succeed. So what this means then is that true friends are never jealous of someone else's success. Amen? True friends are never jealous of someone else's success. Actually, they help each other succeed. That you know you have a true friend when they help you succeed, and you know you might not have a true friend if there is jealousy around your success or their success or whatever it might be, that true friends don't compete for success, that true friends don't become jealous of other success. This is what this passage is teaching us. It says this, that true friends, that two are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. And then the text is really clear as well. It says this, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. Notice really clearly in this text what the text says. Notice, who is it that reaches out when there is crisis or difficulty, when someone is struggling? It's the other person in the text, right? That the true friend takes the initiative. The true friend starts with the first step. The true friend starts to help even without being asked. That's what the text says. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. That the person who falls doesn't need to be the one who initiates, that a true friend initiates. And this is true both in life and also scripturally here. I'm not sure if you've ever been in a really difficult space, but if you've ever been in a really challenging, difficult space where you're just, everything's kind of feels like it's all falling apart, or you're in one of those spaces, what you often don't have is the energy to actually reach out and sometimes to even ask for help. Anybody ever been in a really difficult space where you felt you just couldn't do anything more? Here what the text is teaching us is that when we're in those spaces, what true friends do is they reach out to help. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. So what we see in this passage is that true friends help one another. They help each other towards success. If one of them falls, they help each other up. They actually help to encourage and to be true friends with one another. So what do true friends do? They help each other. Secondly, what we're going to see in this passage is that they not only help, but they care for each other. We read this as we continue on. The author says, but someone who is alone is in real trouble. Someone says that we need to have these true friendships in our lives. Otherwise, we are in, as he says, real trouble. And then he continues and he says this. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? The author here is pretty clear that friendship not only provides help, it also provides care and comfort. Obviously, back then in that day and age, they didn't have heaters at night, so nights could be quite cold, especially if you're traveling. And the author here describes something both literally true and also metaphorically true, that the way that you can actually help one another in friendships is what he says is that two people lying can lie close together, can keep each other warm. I don't know if you've ever gone through a cold night, but Kristen and I often love to go camping in October when the trees are all turning, but we only have a tent. So it can be quite cold, and what I know is the colder it gets, the closer she gets to me. That's what ends up happening, right, when you are camping in the middle of October. And here, the author is describing something like that, that really, when it gets cold, when things get hard, that what true friends do is they move closer together. So he talks about relationships being a source of care and even comfort, right? On a cold night, he says, they come back together. Lastly, what he really talks about is that a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Here, the writer is again describing something that is both literal and also metaphorical, that when you would be in that day and age, what would often happen is you might actually have to be prepared to encounter wild animals, bandits, or other threatening situations. And so the writer of Ecclesiastes says that a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. He's saying really that relationships, friendships, connections, all of that, that they are sources of protection, a source of security or a safeguard in life. That's what he's talking about here today. He's saying that these relationships that we have, if we have good connections, what they do is it becomes a source of protection for one another, that a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. So what do we see in this short passage? Well, what we see really is what true friendships truly are. First, we see that two friendships are about where people help one another, where Solomon writes, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Secondly, we see that true friendships provide care and comfort, where we read, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. And then thirdly, we see that true friendships protect one another. A person standing back to back can be a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. That what the writer here is teaching us is that true friendships really have three components to them. That they have help, care, and protection. Help, care, and protection. And so what we see in both Proverbs and Ecclesiastes is the absolute importance of having connections and friendships and relationships with one another. That life is better and meant to be lived together. And what we really see in Ecclesiastes is that help, care, and protect. So this morning, what is my main point? My main point is just this, that we all need deep friendships who help, care, and protect. That's what we all need. We all need deep friendships who help, care, and protect. That if we want to develop resiliency in our relationships, this is what we need to be developing. Help, care, and protection within our friendships, connections, and relationships around us. And so if that's my main point, how do we actually put this stuff into practice? That's what I want to talk about for the remainder of our time today and spend the majority of our time actually talking about how do we practically and tangibly build really resilient relationships. Because as I did say, making friendships and continuing and developing friendships can be hard as adults. As I said, kids can easily do it. We can learn a lot from them where they just open up and they connect with people who are around them. But as we grow older, it can become more difficult. So how do we build resilient relationships? Well, today I want to talk through those three things of helping, caring, and protecting really practically, really tangibly to give us some ideas for how we might actually develop deep friendships. Because this is true, that when you ever encounter a challenge or a space of crisis, that's when you really will need deep friendships. But often the deep and close friendships are developed outside of crisis. So how do we actually develop deep friendships? That's what I want to take a look at with helping, caring, and protecting. And the first thing I want to invite you to do or to think through is to be a person who helps others out. That as Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, two are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out. So what does this look like practically to help people in our relationships? I want to give you a few ideas. That in real life, what it can look like to help someone, a friendship, a connection, to develop resiliency, to help someone can sometimes look like just dropping off a casserole. This is what I think can actually help relationships. Anybody ever been given a meal before that just, stuck with them? Some of you remember there was a season where Krista lived in a different city than the rest of us for about 9 months, or it felt like 9 years is really what it felt like. And while we were in that season, one of the most helpful things that actually ended up happening from friends that develop deepness within our relationships is they would drop off a meal. We had a meal train for when I was kind of alone with the kids. And this was a huge thing for us, to have one night where you didn't need to think about a meal, didn't need to clean up all the prep dishes or all of that, made a huge, huge impact. Sometimes we dismiss the most tangible things like food and water and that sort of thing, but this is how you can actually grow resilience and deepen your friendships and connections with others. It's through helping, and it can look like a casserole. Another way that helping can look like, it can look like watching someone's kids. I remember when we first got here to St. Catharines, and we moved down as a family, and what one of the amazing families in our church did, they took us out for a meal, but you know what else they did? They brought their teenage daughter to babysit our kids. That was just an incredible, incredible time. I still remember it now, to think that we did not have to plan for that or think about that, that there's someone who is willing to do that. Sometimes actually just watching someone else's kids can be a huge way to provide help in a relationship. Helping can look like, dropping off food. It can look like helping with kids. Another thing that happened while Krista was gone, is that someone bought us a gift card to a cleaning company so we could get a clean house. You know how, just amazing that was for us? And one of the most amazing things happened. The person who came in actually happened to be a Christian, so not only were they cleaning, but they prayed through our entire house at the same time. That was a real way to help us when we were in a space of challenge or need. It was through people who were doing things like casseroles or watching kids or cleaning. Other things that can look like to help others who are around you. It'd be like mowing someone's lawn to give them one less thing to do. It can be also just willing to drive someone's kids to this or that program. That can be a huge help for families who are in need. It can also be like running errands or dropping off a care package of candies, candles, encouraging notes. It can be like bringing a cup of coffee for a friend. That what I want to encourage you to think through tangibly and practically today is that if you want to have healthy and deep relationships, that helping others strengthens, starts, and builds relationships. This is what we learn from Ecclesiastes, that true relationships help one another, and that helping strengthens, starts, and builds relationships. So I want to invite you to think through, is there anyone even today you can think through that you can help, that you have a friendship with, a connection with, a relationship with? Because if we're going to have strong relationships, helping needs to be a part of it. Helping needs to be a core area within it. Second thing I want to take a look at, if you want to build deep relationships, is the importance of caring for one another. We saw that in the passage where they care for each other. And so today I want to invite you to care in two specific ways. Here's how you can care in relationships or show care in relationships. It's through listening and it's through encouraging. The first thing I want to invite you to do is if you have good connections and relationships with people, the way you truly strengthen them is by becoming a person who listens. I think in our culture, we not only have busy and distracted lives, what ends up happening is we also have busy and distracted thoughts in our minds. And so often when we're actually with someone and we're talking with them, so often, have you ever done this before? You're planning the next thing to say when they finally get a break or whatever it might be. Like you're planning your next response rather than listening. What I want to invite you to do is to listen deeply if you're going to have healthy and developed relationships. Listening needs to be a part of it. And we need to kind of put our phones away and our distracted thoughts away and just actually listen to the person in front of us. Romans says this in Romans 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That really what this is, and this verse is describing, is that we are called to give our presence to other people. And if they're in a space of celebration, we join in with that. If they're in a space of mourning or difficulty, we join in with that. That we are to give people our presence, hurting with those who are hurting and celebrating truly with those who are celebrating. So if you want to grow in actually being a caring person, so that you might care for those who are around you, I think listening needs to become one of the biggest center points of our lives. As many of you know, I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer as a theologian. He probably has influenced me more than most other theologians. And he once said something that I think about all the time. He said, it's too bad that all the Christians are too busy talking when they should be listening. Is that not true? Right? It's too bad that all the Christians are too busy talking when they should be listening. So what I want to invite you to do, if you want to have strong relationships around you, you need to have a posture of listening, of when you just actually give someone your full presence. It will develop depth in your relationship. It will develop your resilience in your relationships. It'll be key to it. So I want to invite you today to really think through, how can you listen to other people? Second way I think that we can show care is by encouraging one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says this, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. That if we want to build relationships, if we want to start friendships, if we want to deepen a connection, encouragement is needed and necessary. I remember a little while ago, I was going through just a really difficult kind of patch, difficult kind of time. Anybody ever been in a really, really just difficult time where nothing seems to go right? And you kind of feel like everything is failing all around you all the time? This is a space I was in. And I was in a really kind of bad headspace. And what happened one day when I was in this space is a friend, a really good, deep friend, showed up, and what they had brought with me was a cup of coffee. They walked into my office. They just kind of popped by. They didn't ask or tell me they were coming. And they showed up with a coffee. They gave me a hug, and they told me that I was doing a great job, and then they left. I got to tell you, this stuck with me so much. Just someone actually showing up and bringing a cup of coffee as a reminder that they were with me in a really difficult space. So much so that I remember that one cup of coffee today, right? And so what I want to invite you to do is to think through, how can you encourage other people? How can you encourage other people? Because it changes people's lives when you encourage. Proverbs puts it this way, worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. Sometimes we just need some encouragement in our relationships and in our connections. So I want to invite you to really be someone who cheers someone else up, who actually practices encouraging others. That rather than just us kind of forgetting to be encouraging to others, that it would become a priority in the relationships you have. So if you want to grow deeper in relationships, we need to be able to be people who help in practical and tangible ways. We also need to be people who care, and we can do that, as I said, through listening and through encouraging. Lastly, I want to talk through protecting. That as we saw in that passage in Ecclesiastes, there are talks about friendships coming together and standing back to back, that they protect one another. I want to talk through how we might do that practically and tangibly today. And I'm going to give you two practical ideas for how you can actually protect those relationships around you. And they are faithfulness and forgiveness. Faithfulness and forgiveness. First, I want to talk about faithfulness. Here's just some of my opinions on the world around us. I don't know, do you have any opinions on the world around you? I have some thoughts too. So here, I want to give you some thoughts on our world around us. I think that in our modern day and age, more than perhaps in any other day and age, that we have a lack of faithfulness in friendships and relationships and connections. That it is really easy in our world. I think it's never been easier. And I think we're encouraged to do this, to break relationships, to ghost people, to just have a lack of, can I put it this way? That there's almost a lack of loyalty in many relationships around us. And what I think we need to do, if we are actually going to be faithful people, to have resilient relationships, that we need to have faithfulness as a part of it. We need to have deep commitment as a part of it. We need to have loyalty as part of it. That if we're going to grow and create resilient relationships, commitment and faithfulness is needed. That's what I'd like to suggest to you today, that commitment and faithfulness is needed in our friendships and our relationships. There's a beautiful passage in the Bible that speaks of the importance of connections and making commitment and faithfulness, and it's in the book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, what ends up happening is Ruth really pledges her love and her loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi. I want to read to you the passage of what she says. And this is kind of what it looks like, I think, to have deep and faithful relationships. She says this, but Ruth replied, do not ask me to leave you and to turn back. She says this, here's the commitment that she shows. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Whenever you die, wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Listen to that level of loyalty to a friendship in those instances. Listen to how strong that sense of commitment is. That here's what I think. I think that we can protect our relationships, and to do that, we need to build resilience in them by being loyal to them, by being a good friend, by not giving up on friendships, and committing and caring through the dark and the difficult times that we might have. I don't know if you have friendships like that in your life, but I can tell you this. If you end up having those kind of friendships because you've invested and you've developed them and you've grown in them, they can be some of the most life-giving parts of your life, having people who you know will be there through thick and thin, who are going to be loyal and committed and faithful. And the way we develop that in our friendships is by being someone who is loyal, committed, and faithful. Lastly, one of the ways we can protect our relationships, and you might not have thought of this right off the bat, but I think that this is important, is we can actually protect our relationships in and through the practice of forgiveness, or the habit of forgiveness. That what forgiveness really does for us is it helps us to protect relationships from fracturing and failing. Because this is just true. For all close relationships, eventually there's going to be some moments of bumps. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some difficulties, right? That when you are close to other people, forgiveness needs to become a habit. I don't know if you've ever had this before, but in our family, we have two siblings who like to fight with one another. Anybody have kids that like to fight occasionally with each other? That what we know is that whenever that happens, is that forgiveness needs to become a habit if we're going to grow deep and good relationships. And so today, what I want to invite you is to practice forgiveness in your relationships, to make it a habit, to practice letting things go, to practice reconciliation, to practice bringing things up for resolution. Paul says this in Ephesians 4. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And then he says this, instead, is this not a good verse? Instead, be kind to each other. Amen? Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted. He says this, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That what Paul calls us to be is someone who is tenderhearted and forgiving. And if you want to have good and deep relationships, forgiveness needs to become part of it. Forgiveness needs to become a habit. Because in a marriage, in a connection, in friendships, there's always going to be bumps and challenges. The closer you are with someone, the more you might have the opportunity to actually experience some of those bumps and challenges. And so forgiveness needs to become a habit if you want to protect your relationships. And so today, what does this mean for us all here today? Well, today my challenge is this. I want to invite you to invest in relationships by helping, caring, protecting, and protecting. That's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to develop resilience in your relationships through help, care, and protection. This is what I want to invite you and to challenge you to do here today. In some of your relationships, I want to invite you to think through how can you help, how can you care, and how can you protect. But what does this mean for us if we perhaps don't have good friendships or perhaps any friendships or connections really at all? Well, first I just want to acknowledge that living with loneliness is really, really hard. And there's a lot of shame and stigma in our world around loneliness that can come with it. So I don't want to just be clear, it's hard to make friendships. But those three things that I talked about of helping, of caring, and protecting, those three actions not only build relationships, here's what I really believe deeply, they also start relationships. That those three actions not only build, but start relationships. So perhaps there's someone in your office that you can start helping, caring, or protecting. Perhaps there's maybe someone in your lunchroom or at your class or on your street that you can use those actions of help and care and protection so that you might deepen the relationships or start a good friendships around you. Also, what I would recommend, if you are struggling with friendships, a really good way to develop friendships here at Bethany is to join what we call our home churches. This is where we journey with other people and we practice kind of out what we've learned through the Bible. They're also really good spaces for us to practice those three actions of helping, of caring, and protecting. And so I invite you to join a home church. And really what they're called to do, home churches and church in general, is that these are training grounds for us to develop our relationships. And so today, what I want to invite you to do is to develop resilience in your relationships through helping, caring, and protecting. So that's my main point today. My main point is we all need deep friendships who help, care, and protect. And how do we do that really practically? It's through helping, caring, and protecting. That will develop your relationships, that will deepen them, that will grow them, that will even start them if you don't have them. Those three actions of helping, caring, and protecting is what we should look for in our relationships, and it's what we should be seeking to do within our relationships. So my challenge is to invest in relationships by helping, caring, and protecting. Specifically, if as I've been talking through any of those actions or any of those things, if you've been thinking of someone, if you've been picturing someone, if someone's, you know, kind of name came to mind, I really want to invite you, that's likely the Holy Spirit speaking to you about who you should reach out to through help, through care, or through protection. And so with that, would you join with me in prayer here this morning? God, I pray for each and every one of us. Might we continue to develop good relationships? I pray especially for those who are struggling with relationships. Would they find not only help and hope, would they find good friends to be able to journey with through life together? I pray for each and every one of us. Might we continue to invest in those relationships around us through helping, through caring, and protecting. Let us not forget to take those relationships seriously so that we would develop resilience and depth in them. So would you help us to walk this out this week, Lord? And we pray all this in the wonderful name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. And so before we close today, I just want to remind you of one kind of simple thing, that especially one of the relationships that can matter most in our lives, if we are married, is our marriages and with our spouse. And you might have seen it on our announcements, but there is a marriage course that is starting up, and it's great, and it will help to strengthen anyone's marriage. You get to go and be a part of not group discussions. You sit and you eat together just with your spouse, and it's a great time to be able to actually invest in your relationship. So if you're interested in that, there is more information online, but I really encourage you to sign up for our marriage course. Other than that, I want to invite you to stand for our closing benediction here today. So today I want to read simply from Ephesians 4, where we read this. This is Paul speaking. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, God will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you'll be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. May that be true in your life, and may that be true in mine. As always, if you have any need whatsoever, there are people in our prayer room off to our left that would be more than willing to meet with you and to pray with you. If you're new here and you want to get connected, you can go to our Welcome Center, and there will be people help you to learn a little bit more about who we are. And last but not least, if you'd like to give, there are instructions for how you can give on our big green give wall, and we'd love for you to partner with us financially. And then that, I hope you enjoy the bright day that we have outside, and have a happy Mother's Day, and we'll see you all next week as we talk about gratitude in our lives. We'll see you all then. Grace and peace, everyone. Bye-bye.